The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
I'm going to ask your help in this reading. Turn to the back of your bulletin so you can follow along. I'm going to ask you to read the Old Testament quotes that Jesus gives. So every time I say, "It is written," you will read the next passage with me. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the disciple took him to the holy city, placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God
and serve only him."
Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Many years ago, I was introduced to a word that is commonly used in South Africa. The word is Ubuntu. If you or your children happen to attend the Lutheran National Youth Gathering of 2006, this word may sound familiar to you. While I never did attend that National Youth Gathering, I did sit on the Dome Creative Planning Team, and so spent some quality time with this word and its definition. Ubuntu roughly translates to, "I am because we are." It describes a quality in a person or a culture that lives a relational, selfless life. Nelson Mandela, the former prisoner and president of South Africa, describes Ubuntu with a story. He says, a traveler through a country would stop at a village, and he didn't have to ask for food or water. Once he stops, the people give him food, entertain him. That is one aspect of Ubuntu, but it will have various aspects. Ubuntu does not mean that people should not enrich themselves. The question, therefore, is, are you going to do so in order to enable the community around you to be able to improve? As I said in our announcements, today is the first Sunday in Lent, the season of the church that will bring us along Jesus' road to the cross and ultimately to Easter morning. And throughout the season, we're going to focus on some of the ways that we, as a church, live an Ubuntu identity. As a church, we do not live or serve or grow in isolation. Rather, we live alongside our community of Afton and the Greater Valley. We have a history of being in partnership with organizations like Valley Outreach. We belong to a large Lutheran body, the ELCA. We belong to one another, and ultimately, we belong to God. As I said, next week we'll hear from an Episcopalian priest who also serves on the board of Valley Outreach, and at the end of March, our very own Bishop Lull, who presides over the St. Paul Area Synod, will come and preach here as well. Various voices lifting up different relationships that weave through our identity as Memorial Lutheran Church, and we will reflect and consider the idea of Ubuntu in our own living as people of God. So you can anticipate a lot of talk regarding interconnected living through Lent. And how do we begin this reflection? Well, with a gospel story of Jesus being completely and utterly alone in the desert, of course. This morning we hear of Jesus alone, fasting, famished, and his faith tested. The scene is fascinating for a number of reasons. And I think one of them is when in Jesus' life this particular experience occurred. If we had read the story out of the Bible today instead of the back of our bulletin, you would have been able to glance up just a few verses and see that Jesus had just been baptized. Just before this time, these 40 days in the wilderness, he was at the River Jordan. He was surrounded by a community of the faithful. He was supported by John the Baptist. He was washed in the waters of promise. And he actually heard God's voice saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased." From that moment to the next, Jesus went from community to isolation, from affirmation to temptation. Now, this is a far cry from our own practices around baptism. Not that we're going to send our new brother Theo out to the backyard of the church to wander around for 40 days. But there is a powerful practice that we glean from Jesus' two very different experiences of baptism and wilderness wandering. When the baptismal water is splashed upon us, we are told that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. We are gifted with our identity as God's children, marked for a life of discipleship, gifted with the powerful, moving Holy Spirit. We are given to a community, and in turn, that community makes promises to stand by us. This is also true for our Savior as he was baptized in the river. But Jesus doesn't have a baptismal party or a cake or a nice outfit. He's thrust into the fullness of his baptismal identity immediately. Before the miraculous healings, before his challenging teachings, before hanging out on the margins of society, before his entire earthly ministry begins, Jesus turns to God, and God alone. Led by the Holy Spirit, Jesus is brought to the wilderness, stripped of all comforts and all nourishment, exiled from his community, carrying only the memory of God's voice, feeling only the trace of those promises, and Jesus is alone and tested and fasting. Why? Why would the Spirit of God lead Jesus to such a complete stop in his momentum and ministry? For that, I think we can hear again from Nelson Mandela, who said that when he was imprisoned in South Africa, still advocating for racial equality in his homeland, that it was his nearly 6 years in solitary confinement that were the most painful. But he also said that in prison is where he found that captivity made space to go within himself and cultivate the things he most wanted for South Africa: peace, reconciliation, harmony. Now, I do not mean to say that Jesus' Spirit-led wilderness fast is the same as imprisonment, but Mandela was moved to be productive in his captivity, generating hope for an entire country from that strength he found within. Jesus turned to God, and God alone, during those 40 days, and he was given the faith to cultivate within himself what would be the pillars of his ministry and his death and his resurrection. The mission of God, the love for all people, was planted inside him in the waters of baptism and given great growth and strength during his days of temptation and isolation. Identity is the focus of the tempter in the scenes of Jesus' temptation. "If you are the Son of God," he said. In other words, how do you know you're the Son of God? Turn stone to bread, jump from the temple, worship me, and you will never know doubt again. You will be sufficient on your own. The temptation is the same, but Jesus responds by refusing to establish his own worth and his identity on his own terms, and instead remains dependent on God. Jesus knows who he is. That is, he remembers whose he is. In order to do all that would be asked of Jesus, he turned to God, clung to his God-given identity, and turned to serve the world. Our great reformer, Martin Luther, was well known for being plagued with intense doubt and fear. And when he was in fits of struggle, he would often call out, "I am baptized," throwing in the face of insecurity and doubt the only sure thing, which was his place in God's family. And it wasn't, "I was baptized," as though those promises were just spoken long ago. Luther believed in the ever-present, ever-sustaining gift of holy baptism that would certainly carry him throughout his life. The season of Lent is 40 days long. Yes, we're a few days into the season, but every day we are invited to turn again to God. Because as certainly as Jesus faced temptation, Luther wrestled with doubt, and Mandela survived isolation, we too encounter challenges in our faith lives. It doesn't take long before we trip on temptation or stumble into doubt or feel the weight of being lonely and misunderstood. The season of Lent can be a gift, an invitation to turn again and again to God. Maybe you'll give something up to bring you focus this season, a fast of some sort. Maybe you add something like acts of service or increased giving. Perhaps you'll mark your time differently with more prayer and scripture reading or silence. No matter how you turn to God, we can trust that what God is doing through the powerful movement of the Holy Spirit is cultivating within us the strength to serve and the compassion to love. Before we go head first into this interconnected living, should we not first find our identity in God alone? As Jesus did in the wilderness, relying only on his identity as God's Son, did he find himself readied for the road and difficult life ahead? No matter how much temptation you face, how much doubt you carry, you can turn to a God who will never turn away from you. And you can remember that you are marked with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, that you belong to God, and nothing else gets to tell you who you are. Would you please pray with me? Holy God, I confess I want to turn stones into bread, to turn this prayer into piety, this life into something self-sustaining. So teach us to be at home in you, to dare to be still in your presence. Set your seal upon our hearts, not for our own gratification, but for the sake of this world that you love. Teach us to be at home in you. Amen.